Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's my pleasure to be with you again. In the studios today here at Fernwood Studios, we have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
And we have Hal and his lovely wife, Rainer, who keeps him in line most times.
Usually.
James.
It's a tough job.
It is, I know. I've witnessed you at work, though, and you do a great job.
Thank you.
Well, guys, let's talk about the trip down to Wilmington that y'all took yesterday and today for the fisheries meeting on the shrimp petition. Now, I know it's over with. It's probably been widely reported by the time this show airs on Sunday, and people might be wondering, well, why are they still talking about that? Well, the reason I want to talk about it is because I want to show you what grassroots activists do. I want you to tell us about the people that showed up. We witnessed it here in New Bern at the convention center, a capacity crowd. How many were down in Wilmington?
It was a smaller group.
A smaller group?
How many would you say, Hal?
I'd say a couple hundred. It wasn't all that small. You know.
Well, it was compared to 1,000.
Oh, yeah, compared to 1,000. But, yeah, there were right many people in that room. I was proud that we had a little group that we sat with. There were about 20 people, and we all had little stickers on that had been provided that say, reject the
petition,
right. And we sat together. And I thought it was really good. Most of us got up and spoke at the hearing. In fact, that was one thing that really impressed me, was most people who spoke there were very, very passionate, and especially the commercial fishermen trying to protect their livelihoods, their families, and, you know, their ability to provide. And it was very touching how passionate they were. There was just a lot of them that got up and did that. And I had the feeling that the sportsmen that were there, most of them were, they seemed like good people. They joked with us a little bit and things like that. And I think they were sincere that they were concerned about the bycatch. But I don't think they had a clear picture of what it was doing to other folks.
All right. Well, like I mentioned, we had a very large crowd turn out to participate here in New Bern. Right. And you say we had about 200 there in Wilmington. Of grassroots activists and fishermen.
Right.
Here in New Bern, they brought the shrimp boats up like they have done in the past. So there was a good presence of people in opposition to the petition.
Somebody pointed out to me that it cost one person in particular $1,000 in fuel to get that boat here. And it is a whole lot farther for most of them to go to Wilmington. It was not in a place that was conducive for a huge number of fishermen getting there. And I don't think that was probably accidental.
Right.
You know, I think it's a good idea to start get started here. Talking about why the commercial fishermen and the watermen there felt that they were so threatened. And the petition itself is pretty simple along those lines. It just said that, for one thing, it reduced the number of days that they could fish down to 3. And that, 60% of the time, they were asking, hey, you folks here, do you think you can make a living going out to work 3 days a week? Things like that. They limited them to no night shrimping. And there's one species of shrimp that they usually catch at night. No shrimping in the sounds and as far out as 3 miles out into the ocean. No shrimping in those areas. So totally restricting where they've been fishing.
Right.
And where they say the shrimp are located. So just those things alone, I think they were increasing the number of bycatch preventers, whatever they call those things. You can tell I'm not very knowledgeable about what they're doing, but I got enough of it from listening to several meetings to realize that they were right. Their life was really threatened.
I just have a question. Is there
any scientific validation to this petition? Is this petition in any way based on science?
They say yes. If you heard the back and forth and what people who seemed very knowledgeable said about it, my guess is it is flawed. One of the people who spoke against it was a professor. He spoke here in New Bern. He was also at Wilmington, who has a graduate student who did a thesis on just this subject, and concluded that some of the trawler activities was actually good for some of the species that they are whining about being in distress or on the caution list. That thesis has had peer review and has now been published, and the petitioning group chose to ignore all of that.
Yeah, the very act of trawling apparently stirs up the bottom helps alleviate some of the problems of the pollution coming down the river from the shrimping. And that was a real strong point made by several people. There are some beneficial things to the species for having the bottom stirred up.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
May I say some things that are politically incorrect?
Why do they ask? You usually just go ahead and do it.
I think the way this thing went, today they voted in favor of the petition. 5 were in favor of it, 3 against, and there was 1 abstention. To me, that looking at that process exposed the dirty underbelly of politics in a way that I knew it intellectually before. I felt it emotionally today.
Well, you're going right where I wanted you to go, because what I wanted to cover, I mean, all these other facts we've talked about before on past shows and other shows have talked about. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to get to is just what you're talking about here, is with all the people that showed up against the petition and the presence that was shown both here and in Wilmington, mm-hmm. how in the world could they come to the conclusion they came to?
And add to that, all 5 of their advisory committees voted to advise them to vote against it.
Right.
They voted overwhelmingly, 84% of them voted against the petition.
The advisory committee.
The advisory commission. And I asked Kathy Fulcher, Brent Fulcher's wife, the person who earns his living for the family that way, and I said, look, 84% of the subcommittees or the advisory committees voted to deny the petition. And I've heard the chairman speak, I've heard other people speak, and it sounds like that they're split in such a way that the commercial fishermen on one side, the anglers on the other side, about equally split, and then they got these people that had been appointed by the governor who look like they're going to swing it the other way. I said, what would you call it when all the evidence seems to be that the petition should be denied? All the advisory committees, 5 of them, are voting that the commission should be denied, and then yet we're having a trouble seeing it getting denied. She said, you call that a stacked
commission.
It's a stacked commission. It's right. Stacked against us. And she was right. She turned out to be exactly right.
Well, let's look at the breakdown of that commission. Rainer, you were talking earlier about how many were pro and con on the commission.
They it was, excuse me, an equal number of people who are commercial fishermen, sports fishermen, and
fishermen.
Yeah, and a scientist. Right. And there were 2 at-large seats. Well, the at-large seats, Governor McCrory, on the way out, has put very pro CCA, conservationists, what I would call extreme conservationists. I think they're conservationists who are practical, sensible people. Most of us fall in that category. And then they are what I think of as extreme conservationists. And I don't know where they're coming from exactly, but they have an axe to grind and they're not going to listen to reason. And these 2 people, I believe, fall into that category. And I'm going to be frank with you. In addition to being a member of CCTA, I'm a Republican. I was sorry when McCrory lost. Today, I am no longer sorry. He earned it. He appointed two people who should not have been on that commission. The General Assembly designed a body that was supposed to be balanced by the interests of the two active groups that come to the fishing and scientists. So the idea was they sorted through real science, practical stuff, and what's fair to everybody. And for a time, it seemed to work. Today, it fell apart royally.
One of the things that really troubles me deeply is the thing that Rick brought up is that these people are so well funded. I don't know where all the money comes from, but clubs, Sierra Club might be come to example, but different ones. And you can go and see which of our legislators and which of our council of state are getting money from these people. And I'd say if we follow the money, I think we'll get the answer to what the problem is.
Absolutely.
But the battle's not over. Let's don't think it's over because a lot can be done.
We got a report on that at our CCTA monthly meeting, not the public meeting, but our monthly board meeting. It was a real eye-opener on who's getting money on both sides, but especially on the Republican side, who's getting money from these organizations. Don't know if that influenced things or not, but it didn't help.
Now, what's the next step?
Good question.
Well, fortunately, it is a massively complicated process. The first thing is they have to look into the economic impact of all these changes that are proposed in this petition. If they exceed $1 million annually, then there's a whole long process, and everybody there seemed pretty well convinced that it'll easily clear that bar.
They said just the fishing industry itself is $7 million, and then you've got all the property owners and other people like that are affected, so there's no doubt it'll reach the $1 million threshold.
Mm-hmm.
We have a chance for sanity to rear its head?
Yes, yes, we do. There will come a time when the information is published and the public can comment, and if they get 10 or more letters in opposition, it will go before the General Assembly. There's the possibility, excuse me, that they can decide to throw any or all of it out. Again, it is going to be a long, hard-fought battle. But again, we have to remember the makeup of the dang commission.
A fine point there that I didn't realize until watching and listening to these proceedings is that after this economic studies are all done and everything is done, then it becomes the commission itself. The petition is no longer. There was a lawyer that explained this to it. They no longer have to abide by the petition once they get into it so deep themselves. Then they can. They can change what they do. They don't have to follow the petition. They can throw it all out. They can keep it all. They could, you know, it's open to them to decide what to do with that.
But with this commission, the likelihood is that they are aiming at doing exactly what the petition asked, and it is draconian.
Right.
So that's because of it being what was referred to as a stat commission.
Exactly.
Might I suggest that over the next year or so, we keep a very close eye on donations to our legislators.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know,
our watchdog committee's already working on that.
Okay. Because that's, if we see a sudden surge of donations from groups that we know are associated with this petition going to specific legislatures, we need to counter that. Not with money, because we don't have it. But we need to counter it with letters and visits, and we need to make noise.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason we're doing
it. Perhaps shine the light of day on the on the fact that those things are being
and
done.
And that's the reason we're doing this show today. Like I said, people might ask, well, why are they talking about that? It's all done and over with. No, it's not. The way to change it is to burn up the phone lines and to fill up the mailboxes and let the General Assembly know that the people
there's
not
something
happy with
I think
outcome.
We can do very early on. Last year in the short session, Senator Bill Cook introduced a bill that would change the makeup of the commission. It would get rid of those two at large seats. I think we need to ask Senator Cook to dust off that and put it back in.
All right, good idea.
I wanted to extend the invitation to the listeners. Please watch the legislators with us. Watch for their donations. Come and join the CCTA. Come and help us watch legislative process and have an effect on good laws.
And if you want to provide us some information on what you see, our website, cctaxpayers.com, there's a comment section, a feedback section. Just go on there and fill it out, and we'll get that information. And we appreciate you sharing with us, and look forward to hearing from you.
Well, there's one thing that I wish our listeners could have witnessed that I saw down there in Wilmington. At that meeting, and especially when it was over and we all poured out into the halls, you could have seen the wives, the children, the family members all standing around with tears in their eyes. I mean, it was pretty darn moving.
All right. I would like to mention, as we move on, that this coming Tuesday is our regular monthly public meeting, open to the public, and this will be the topic at that meeting. That's this Tuesday night at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern, at 7 o'clock. And again, it's going to be a meeting to present the pros and cons of the North Carolina Wildlife Petition to enact additional regulation on North Carolina commercial shrimp fishermen. Jerry Scheel will represent the commercial side, and Don Willis will represent the recreational fishermen, and then it'll be followed by a question and answer. So, people, if you're really not up on the information, if you still have questions about it, please attend. You'll be able to talk to these representatives and get your questions answered. And like we were just discussing, this is not the end of this. There's still a long battle ahead. There's still an opportunity to come out victorious in this.
And Mary had an idea about a group of folks that are included, and it might not be obvious.
I just would like to say that the thing that is frightening when you listen to this is you are about to wipe out a major industry in North Carolina, and you are going to impact the people in that industry and their families. But you are also going to impact those of us who happen to like going down to Atlantic Beach or the Outer Banks and having a fish dinner.
We're here in New Bern.
And I might also point out the tourist industry. A lot of tourists here for the seafood.
Yeah.
And they can go anywhere and get it imported from overseas.
Certainly.
They come here specifically for fresh seafood.
And, you know, it has emerged that there are businesses that take seafood from our coast very, very rapidly to some inland cities, to farmers markets, to restaurants, that sort of thing. So more and more of North Carolina is being able to enjoy it quickly and freshly, and that's about to be cut off at the knees.
Let me give you another example. What's Maryland known for?
Crabs.
Crab cakes.
Yeah.
Right.
Crab soup.
So yes. If somebody was trying to put an end to crabbing in Maryland, how would that go over?
Yeah.
Same thing here.
Well, this will impact the crabbing industry here, too.
Yep.
They pointed that out.
But okay. If they can do this, if they are successful in this, what industry is safe? Because we know the science does not seem to be valid. So what industry is safe from this kind of government interference that can literally put it out of business?
None. And if they get away with this, then it'll be another aspect of our fishing.
They'll
just keep going.
It's a whole different chapter. But Mary, in my lifetime, I have seen a number of businesses put out of business by various arms of the government. They're very good at it, and we need to get extremely good at pushing back. And thank goodness there seems to be somebody in the White House who's as determined as we are and quite capable along those lines.
Yes. In my military experience, I used to go down to Fort Bragg. And there would be immense areas of training grounds off limits now because of the red cock-headed woodpecker or something like that. And I mean to tell you, if you got troops that have no place to train or the limited space to train in because of this sort of thing. And
right.
There was a kit fox thing that did the same sort of things to other folks. So, you know, it's been going on for years.
Right.
Well, we've seen in California, the Central Valley which used to be the breadbasket of America, the water was cut off because of some kind of snail darter that they weren't even sure was an individual species. And they wound up dumping millions of gallons into San Francisco Bay rather than using it to irrigate farms. And if you drive through there, it is nothing but dry, lifeless land.
Well, we can't do anything about the whole country, but we can certainly do something about our own backyard.
That's right. So again, let me remind you, Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. CCTA's monthly public meeting is free. It's open to the public, and you're certainly welcome to join us and join CCTA while you're there. That's what we're all about.
Two of the commercial fishermen joined CCTA yesterday.
Right. I understand they had heard the radio show before.
Yes.
Very good.
That was really nice. And they chased us down and wanted applications to join.
Well, that's what CCTA is all about, is grassroots activities, pushing back against excessive government. We're all for limited government, less government, lower taxes, and that's what this radio show is all about. But we've got to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back in just a moment.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Good to have you with us. We've been talking about the petition that was voted on down in Wilmington this past Thursday for commercial shrimp fishermen. And we didn't like the outcome, but we're not through with the fight. So we're going to move on to some other topics. Again, we have Bob and Mary Griswold, Diane Ruffino, Hal and Rainer James, and I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. And Mary Griswold, you are the author of RightWingGranny.com. It's a conservative blog, and therefore you keep up with what's going on, current events. So what's on your radar today?
Well, this goes back a ways, but it kind of flew under the radar. On January 12th, the New York Times, which is not my normal source for a conservative blog, published an article about something that President Obama did before he left office. He changed the rules on the NSA gathering of information and intercepted communications. Now, I'm way over my head here. I don't understand a lot of this. But the new rules relax the limits on what the NSA may do with the information they gather, and they allowed people to, they allowed the NSA to share the raw communication as they collected it. There used to be protections on this that said that if they intercepted a phone call and they passed on the information, they blocked out the names and they did things like that. Evidently, they're not doing that anymore. And
well, now, it depends on who they're investigating.
Well, that's true. But this is a, I think Diane can speak more to the legal aspect of this than I can. But this is the fear that everyone expressed when the Patriot Act first came out.
Yes.
And changes were made to the Patriot Act to prevent this from happening. And Obama just undid those changes before he left office.
Good grief.
Yeah, and let's look at what just recently happened to Flynn. you know, what happened to the Fourth Amendment, Diane?
It went right out the window. I'm concerned that that issue didn't come up in any of the talking points on some of the more left-wing television stations. They're all happy that Flynn is under the gun and he's done something wrong and Trump is embarrassed and he has to maybe fire Flynn and maybe there's deeper conspiracy and all this stuff that that they're so happy they can exploit or spin into something horrible. But no one talked about the real issue, which was that the government wiretapped an American citizen. He was not employed by the government at the time. He was not acting on official. He's not in an official capacity yet. And he was an American citizen. He was wiretapped, broke his Fourth Amendment rights, and then they made that information public, again, without redacting names or anything like that. But so.
And he was wiretapped in December.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Under the Obama administration.
Prior to these changes in the...
That's true. I didn't even think about that, but that's true.
And that's interesting that they were able to wiretap him and have all these recorded conversations, but they couldn't find anything on Hillary.
Isn't it amazing? But it wasn't just one person who made that decision. These are people who were talking about a plan to embarrass Trump and, oh, let's go after this. This is a possible avenue. So,
well, also we know that Trump's conversations with Mexico and Australia were recorded and leaked.
Well, that's questionable as to whether they were recorded or leaked, or there were assumptions of what was said in the calls. A lot of false news assumptions.
Fake news again.
Fake news rears its ugly head.
I heard Trump say on the television recently that during one of his, what do they call them, press conferences, well, I'm sure you all know all about that by now because it was classified.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but, you know, let's remember, he hasn't even got his cabinet appointed yet. That's being held up by the obstructionists in Congress.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's taken longer than for any other president in history to get those appointments through. And also, all of these agencies are staffed with people that were put in those positions by the previous administration. And many of them are still loyal to the previous administration. So, they're out gunning to take down this administration.
They absolutely are. This is the face of the enemy. I mean, this is the face of the liberals there.
Wouldn't it be a good idea for us to call Senator Tillis, Senator Burr, our representative, for me it's Walter Jones, and say, fellas, we want those appointments confirmed. Please, get a move on.
Well, it might be, but my opinion, personally, you can call Tillis or you can talk to that wall over there. It'd be about the same thing.
I, as an individual person, I agree. I'm not important to him. But if we do it in numbers, then all of a sudden, it means something because there's
if those numbers are preceded by a dollar sign.
Rick, you are a cynic.
Well,
my
I'm
friend.
Being honest. He's shown his true colors. You know, he's gotten up there, and he's not voting in line with.
But numbers of people on the same subject might indicate to him that it would be tricky getting reelected if he annoys enough people badly enough.
I agree.
I believe the strategy behind that is that if a number of people do call on the same subject, and we've heard that this happens at any particular time in a concentrated time period, then you have the ability to get past the aide to the senator or representative themselves. And when the aide understands he gets 8 or 10 or 12 calls on the same subject, that's when you get their attention. That gets passed on to the actual elected.
Absolutely, and the more, person. The better.
Well, while we're talking about the numbers, let me just point out to our listeners, folks, it's very important that you become one of the numbers, okay? You can sit at home and yell at the TV or cuss at the radio all you want to, and it's very ineffective. It might make you feel better, but it's not going to accomplish anything. And yes, I'm guilty of it too. I've yelled at the TV more than once today. So, but you've got to get out, and like this group that went to Wilmington and made their presence known at the hearing. Just last week, y'all went to Raleigh and visited how many legislators?
12 offices and three on the run. You got it.
Well, and by the way, there were people there at this fisheries meeting. They were from not only from Craven County, but they were also from Carteret County, and they were from Jones County. So we were getting
with
some...
With our group, yeah.
Right.
And we got someone here now from Pitt County, so we're getting a little bit more growth in that area.
Let me point out to you, though, the opposition, the left, the liberals, whatever tag you want to put on them, they show up in numbers. Many of them are bussed in from out of state. That's a proven fact. Many of them are paid to be there. But still, those numbers are visible. They're reported on media. You see them in the newspaper. You see them on TV. And it just gives the impression that we're outnumbered. This past election proved that we're not.
Yeah, man.
I think a lot of people had given up thinking we're done. We're just, it's no use anymore. We're outnumbered. No, folks, we're not outnumbered. No. We've just been silent, and we've got to stop being silent.
Well, the difference is... We have to work and earn our own living. We're self-funded. We aren't paid by anybody. We aren't cajoled. It's not an... If we're organized, it's what we've done for ourselves. If we're there, it's because we've bought the gas and driven ourselves.
Right.
So it takes more commitment to do it our way.
I understand.
But it runs deeper, and it's much more real.
Right.
It isn't surface. It is really where we're coming from within ourselves deeply.
But it's worth the effort.
Amen.
It's very worth it, and we need to put forth extra effort. Well, Diane, you're with the East Carolina Tea Party?
Yes.
Down in Pitt County. Tell us a little bit about when you all meet, because some of our listeners, we meet here in New Bern. They're a little too far off to travel here for our meeting, so... tell us a little bit about what y'all do in Pitt County.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. And listeners out there, if you're in Pitt County, Greene County, Lenoir County, the Eastern North Carolina Tea Party meets the second Monday of every month. And we usually meet at La Ribera Mexican Restaurant on the corner of Arlington Boulevard and Red Banks. Unfortunately, for the next 2 months, we don't meet there, but we have an alternate site, which is on our website, which is www.encteaparty.com. And we usually have speakers come in. We're similar to your group. Fascinating topics. We have opportunities to get involved. We're actually looking for individuals who want to join our leadership team and make our group a lot more interactive with other groups. And get our group up to Raleigh with your group.
Great.
Right.
So we're looking for people who want to do more than complain.
Right. And that's, you know, we're trying to form coalitions with like-minded groups because we realize getting the numbers up and getting them out and getting them visible and getting them active is very important. Well, Mary was talking to us about some of the things that Mr. Obama did just before leaving in December.
He dumped a lot on us. On the
he
way
did.
Out.
There were a lot of things that were done there. Mary, were you through with that subject?
Well, I've got a couple of security issues here because we do have a National Security Committee at the CCTA. And these are a couple of things that have come up in the past few days that I think are important. Evidently, now I got this out of the Washington Free Beacon, a senior Iranian official is warning the Trump administration not to disclose the secret side deals related to the nuclear deal. And these side deals have been hidden from the public by the Obama administration. And they were deals made between the International Atomic Energy Agency and Iran. And they were confidential deals. They had to do with the fact, the side deals had to do with Iran's ability to enrich uranium. They also included deals on how much information Iran must disclose to international inspectors about the country's contested nuclear program. As part of the deal, U.S. inspectors are not permitted to take part in the review of the Iranian sites. And it goes on, and it also has to do with the $2 billion that went to Iran. Evidently, that was part of the side deals. And the article points out that none of this information is classified. And yet, the American public has never seen this. And
that's outrageous.
It is outrageous, and Iran is threatening, I don't know what they think they're going to do, but Iran is threatening to renege on the deal or some such thing. Well, they've reneged on the deal from the beginning.
Yes,
they've been shooting off rockets and everything else.
It's a rotten deal.
It's a non-existent
deal. Maybe they should renege on the deal.
I think
we should all renege on the deal.
I don't think we can get out of it fast enough.
But that's a concern. And then at the same time, in Congress, there is a committee, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And they had three brothers who handled their computer work. Abid, Amran, and Jamal Awan. They have been barred from the computer networks at the House of Representatives because they dealt with classified information. And they dealt with a lot of very sensitive documents. They worked for a number of our representatives. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was one of them. Security checks used to mean something. It used to be that if you wanted a security clearance and you had a record of debt or bankruptcies and stuff like that, you didn't get one. Well, these guys had bankruptcies and debt and everything. They were stealing documents, they were selling documents, they were selling equipment, and they were being paid $161,000 a year. Another one was being paid $165,000.
Are they in jail yet?
The average person doing their jobs was paid about maybe $60,000 to $70,000 a year.
Do these gentlemen have ties to any organization?
Well, let me get there. Wait a minute.
Do they get paid vacations?
I still want to know if they're in jail.
I don't think we're eligible, Bob.
Well, what I came across, okay, one of the congressmen who employed these operatives was Andre Carson. The Center for Security Policy has documented Carson's extensive and alarming ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Aha! Here we go with your answer, Diane.
So if you go to the centerforsecuritypolicy.org, they have a dossier on Andre Carson, and he's the one who hired these guys. So
I'm not feeling safe and secure here.
No. So we have some problems. We have some things in the area of security that hopefully the new administration will clear up. Now, the good news here is that the investigation began under President Obama. It began last fall. And they were relieved of their duties in the end of January, beginning of February. So at least they've been gotten out of there. Lord knows how much damage they did while they were there. But at least they have gotten out of there. So that's the good news, that somebody picked their head up and said, what's going on here?
Yeah, it makes you wonder if that's a pattern or a one-time fluke.
Well, it scares me that the members they worked for were the members for the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence.
Yeah.
That's not an accident.
Muslim Brotherhood and the Committee on Intelligence, the two juxtaposed next to each other seems to me clues.
Yeah, that's not an incredible coincidence.
No.
Nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving.
No, right.
Mary, last question. Have you heard that President Obama or former President Obama is heading or becoming actively involved in this resistance we see now?
Yes. What is the name of it? The organization... Oh, I can't think of the... O-A... I'm thinking OAF, and I know that's not right.
OAF.
I think it's OFA. I don't think it's OAF. I don't think they would have done
Organization
that.
For America?
Yes. And the thing that, aside from the fact that this is unprecedented, this is not what ex-presidents do.
Right, right.
But the taxpayers are paying his office expenses. And he did give himself a raise as a retiree before he left office. So we are paying to undermine our own government with our taxpayer money.
Good Lord. That's horrible.
Aren't there some more vacations he has to take?
Oh, the thing is, he's not taking them now. Well, he'd have to pay for them himself. But he's blocks. He's situated himself blocks from the White House. Of course, the media loves him. The good news is he's probably the only member of the Democratic Party that has any kind of a popularity rating, and I think his is dropping rapidly. So, I mean, he's going to do some damage because he has the media.
Yeah.
But if we are smart, we can counter him.
Understanding that, just a quick search on Wikipedia.org, maybe not the most stable site in the world, but the formation of the Organization for America was announced by then-President-elect Obama on January 17th of 2009. The group officially began operations on the third day of the Obama administration. And it supposedly has about 13 million email addresses. And it is an affiliation with the Democratic Party.
This isn't like an Acorn spinoff, is it?
Well, I'm sure it's a community activist in some way, shape, or form.
Well, so along those lines. So is that what's behind the various street demonstrations around the country and that sort of thing?
I'm sure if you followed the money, you would find names that you recognized. I'm not going to name names, but you would...
Are there any S's involved?
Yes. But you would find, if you followed the money, you would find funding names that you recognized. When we lived in Massachusetts, you could open the Providence Journal, and this was at the time when the big... I'm giving my age away here. This was when the big discussion was abortion. And you could open the Providence Journal and find ads for paid protesters.
Well, I think as time goes on, we're going to find out more and more about this past administration. Just leaked, I just saw it today. Obama team kept a list of Muslims for top jobs and excluded non-Muslims. And that's in the newest batch of John Podesta's hacked emails released by WikiLeaks. It shows that the Obama transition team kept a list of Muslim and Asian candidates for jobs in the administration. And according to an email chain from 2008, John Podesta received lists of exclusively Muslims and Asians to be considered for jobs in the administration. The email chain revealed that in this process, Middle Eastern Christians were purposefully excluded or set aside in a separate list with an aid writing.
Now, shouldn't the 9th District Court have something to say about that and some sort of injunction against activities like that?
Well, interesting enough, not only the 9th District, but all of them were silent during that administration.
Mm. Yes.
The Department of Justice, which was staffed with Muslim Brotherhood,
the Department of Injustice,
and the new Black Panthers.
They were silent on all of these things. All the media was silent on all of it. The ones that are screaming now because of Flynn and because of the so-called Muslim ban coming into the country, which was, you know, done under the Obama administration, and Trump just decided to enforce it. The same thing with rounding up of the illegals. I still can't get over that. If your title is illegal, that ought to tell you something right there. I mean, you know.
You but think?
All these media outlets are having a fit over that. It's perfectly obvious now, and it's going to become more obvious.
I've got a radical idea. I think we will have it right. When choosing people, we choose the best person for the job. Never mind their sex, never mind their color, the best person for the job. And when we pursue all of our laws with equal vigor, instead of picking and choosing and thising and thatting, we have gone astray.
Rainer, you're trying to set this country back 100 years.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that's the way we used to do it.
Yes. Make America great again.
Yeah. Well, let's pause here for just a moment and take another break to hear from our sponsors. And folks, please support our sponsors, because without them, we wouldn't be able to be here talking with you today.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
This Tuesday, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association will present the pros and cons of an NC Wildlife petition to enact additional regulation on North Carolina commercial shrimping. Jerry Schill will represent the commercial side, and Don Willis will speak for recreational fishermen, followed by a question and answer period. To hear a lively debate, attend the CCTA meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. It's free and open to the public. That's Tuesday, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall Ballroom, New Bern. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
As a strong advocate of Second Amendment rights, CCTA is proud to be involved with S&D Gun and Knife Shows. The next S&D Gun and Knife Show will be at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville on Saturday and Sunday, March 4th and 5th. Buy, sell, and trade with Eastern North Carolina's best dealers and enjoy the most competitive prices in the state. Most gun enthusiasts and collectors agree. S&D Gun and Knife Shows are the place to be. The next show is March 4th and 5th at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Our pleasure is talking to you and hoping that you are listening to us. And we'd love to have you share with us through our website, cctaxpayers.com. Go there and hit the feedback button and let us know what you think of the show. If you have some topics you'd like for us to cover, or if you are involved in your local politics and you want to get some of that information out on the air, please use that medium feedback button on cctaxpayers.com to get involved with us and help us to get the word out. And Hal, you're going to tell us about what's going on with Craven County Commissioners.
Tomorrow morning, that's Monday, February the 20th, starts at 8:30. There's a meeting of the Board of Commissioners. It's going to be a meeting in which the public won't be able to petition. It's not a public meeting. You can't even petition the board and get your four-minute talk like you usually can. But it's important to get as many people there as we can, because the county manager, Jack Feet, made the announcement that that was going to be the beginning of this fiscal year, FY18's, budgeting process. And I think it's really critical that as many citizens follow that process as it possibly can, because lately I've heard at various commissioners' meetings, each commissioner will bring up things that they would like to have included in the FY18 budget, but I've never heard anybody suggest any savings or any reductions or any way that the taxpayers can save some money.
Well, I've heard you do it.
Well, I do it, but I'm talking about the commissioners. I haven't heard them do it. And another thing that troubles me is there's so much money being spent in what they call workforce development, and that's a project between the Craven County Community College, which I think the Craven County Community College is a good college. Don't doubt that at all. But on the other hand, they've entered into this workforce development effort, and they've got a workforce development center in town already, but they wanted to take over the building that's on First Street. Mm-hmm. It used to be a school, I understand, and at one time it was electrical
utilities.
Yeah. It's a big project there. There's right much land they can do something with. But they've got $2.3 million of taxpayer money, most of it coming from the federal government and coming from the gold leaf thing, which is extraction from the tobacco industry. The town of New Bern has put in $500,000. They've only asked for a small amount of operational funds from Craven County. I don't even know why they did that. They're only asking for $47,000 in FY18. But the reason they're asking for that is they want the county involved too. And the thing that really shocked me was when Commissioner George Liner was reading some of the information from the lease of the building, which was not available for us to look at, but he was reading it, and he said, the general public, but he read it and said, oh, I think this thing has a two-year termination period. It could be terminated at the end of 2 years. Now, wait a minute. I can't imagine any business person in the world investing $2.3 million for improvements on a property with a two-year lease. I'd want 99-year lease or something like that. That's as heck wouldn't want a two-year lease. I don't know about that. That is just really squirrely, and it was thrown out very quickly by the president of the community college, and not much information available to us members of the public and us taxpayers who have to pick up the tab for it.
Well, there you go, folks. If you reside in Craven County, that's your business. You need to be involved in it, and that's going to be Monday at what time?
Starts at 8:30.
A.M.?
A.M., right.
8:30 a.m. So if you're working for a living,
it's going to make it harder. County Administrative Building, and that's at the corner of Craven and Broad Street.
Okay. And Diane, there's a special event coming up in Raleigh. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. You know, President Trump is having a hard time. He's really getting knocked around. But if you support President Trump and you want to come out and visibly support him, show your support for him, please consider going to the Legislative Building, actually the Halifax Mall, which is right behind it, on Saturday, March 4th. The rally will be between 12 and 4. And there will be a bunch of guest speakers that will address the crowd about what's going on with these issues and what these groups are doing to try to undermine our president and what he's doing on our behalf to make us safer and more prosperous.
Right.
And that's Raleigh?
It's Raleigh, yes. Sorry.
And let me throw in a disclaimer here, because this is Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and we are a 501c3, and we are nonpartisan. So from our perspective, we're asking you to support the policies and principles on a conservative and constitutional basis, not necessarily the individual. That's a personal matter for you. That's fine. But the reason we bring it up is because We think that our constitutional rights and our freedoms and liberties are being undermined, and we support those 100% and urge you to do the same thing.
I think Americans for Prosperity are planning a trip up, a bus trip up to Washington, D.C. in the near future, and that's going to be a free trip. And maybe we try to get as many people to participate in that as possible. Rainer, do you remember the date?
I think it's the 15th of March, but I'm not
15th
certain.
15th of March.
Okay. Well, you can find that probably on the Americans for Prosperity website. Mary, did you have anything else before we close out?
With all that's going on right now with President Trump, I think all of us want the bureaucracy in Washington to shrink a little bit.
A little bit.
And to become a little more transparent and maybe a whole lot more honest. And I feel very strongly that over the next 6 months and next year, I'm going to be a little bit surprised at how deep the swamp and how extensive the swamp that the president has to drain is going to be, because it just seems like everywhere you turn, you find things that are not what they should be in a representative republic, which is what we're supposed to be.
Mary, I think you're right. I think there'll be huge pushback, and I think that's one of the many reasons why going to a rally like Diane was just talking about is important, because we need to demonstrate that we are very approving of that kind of activity.
And I also think that the thing that we all need to remember is we need to pray for our leaders. Because there's some real ugly going on here, and it needs to stop.
I think our president is up to his backside in alligators. And
he is. And let me give you an example. Some breaking news that Trump's pick to replace Mike Flynn turned the offer down, which is understandable. Why, after what you've seen going on, how vicious it is, it's going to take somebody with courage and backbone to.
And a tough soul.
He's a Navy SEAL, right? He's an ex-Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, it's a vicious vicious place up there, and it's going to be hard to find good people that will go and take the stand, I'm sure. Yes, Bob?
I just want to bring up a couple of quotes from Winston Churchill. One is, the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter.
Oh, Lord.
But the other one is, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others that have been tried.
You know what? I disagree with him. And he was a brilliant man. But we have a republic. We don't have a democracy. A democracy is
mob rule.
I don't want anything to do with the democracy, and I get so annoyed at how many people I hear referring to our democracy. No, we don't have one.
But we do have a republic. I mean, a representative.
If we can keep it.
Right.
Yes, we do have
mob. There's old Ben Franklin crept in here somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time for today, but I want to leave you with one more headline before I leave you. And that is, scientists say they will bring back the woolly mammoths from extinction in 2 years.
Hear, hear.
Why?
Best question that's been asked all night.
Well, we don't have to worry about the snail darter and all the rest of them.
We got woolly mammoths now.
Just imagine how much back Social Security they'll be able to collect.
Well, I was under the impression the woolly mammoth was already back and was leading demonstrations in Raleigh, but I guess I was wrong. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our meeting Tuesday night, the third Tuesday of each month, is free and open to the public, downtown New Bern Stanley Hall Ballroom at 7 p.m. Diane, thank you again for joining us from Pitt County, and your meeting is when?
Our next meeting will be in March sometime. Again, go to our website, www.enctparty.com.
Dang. Thank you. All right. I look forward to seeing you and being with you again next week.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic.
CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in Eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call.